sunny day? Well, yeah, parts of Saskatchewan, it's sunny, but other parts of Saskatchewan dealing with snow and less than lovely conditions this morning. The moisture is welcome, but the bad roads not. Thank you to everyone through the morning who's been keeping us up to date on road conditions in the province. If it's bad in your neck of the woods, don't hesitate to shoot us a text. 1-877-332-8255 gives us the ability to share that information with people who are needing to head out on the highways this morning. Well, you know, there's lots of different things to differentiate Canada and the United States, and I think over the last few months we've talked about that. One of the things, this is really interesting, is when you look at the number of books that are banned in America, man, they have a thing, especially in certain states, for banning books. And the titles of the books that are banned, you might be surprised, doesn't mean that it doesn't happen in Canada. It's just not on the level that it is in the States. Now, you might recognize titles like The Handmaid's Tale, Of Mice and Men, To Kill a Mockingbird, The Golden Compass. A lot of these are what I would call pretty well-known books, books that have a historical reference for many people. Well, all of these books that I just named have either been banned or challenged in Canada, despite having movies made about them, being considered great, thought-provoking literary works. What is a banned book? Should we be banning books? Why are they getting banned? In a country that values freedom of speech and thought, you would think it's a bit of a counterintuitive concept to our beliefs to be banning books. And it's also crazy when you think of it in terms of the information that can be accessed online. Man, some of the stuff that people are allowed to say online from all aspects of like, you think we would be past the point now of shelving books just for having certain ideas or using a certain language. I want to drill down on this with someone who looks at this issue from a different lens, an instructor from the University of Manitoba who is actually teaching a course on banned books and helping students apply lessons to their lives from them. Dr. Aaron Weinberg, University of Manitoba, instructor in the Faculty of Arts, Department of English, Theater, Film, and Media, joins me this morning to discuss this. Dr. Weinberg, thanks so much for taking our call.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, it's a fascinating story that I'm reading that actually got me here. I actually had no idea we had this many books banned. What does that mean? Does it mean that you can't read it? Does it mean that it's not in a curriculum? What does it mean when a country bans a book?
That's a good question. And it's not so much a country, although sometimes that happens, but rather different school boards, different libraries, different even individual schools. And sometimes the books are absolutely taken off the shelves and thrown in the garbage. And sometimes the books are restricted. So students need, they need to be in a certain grade, like say grade 10 or 12 or 11 or 12 instead of 9 or 10, or they have to get parental permission to take out a particular book.
It's, you know, when I was doing my digging into this topic prior to chatting with you, I noticed that it appears there are more books banned, maybe not by the United States, but in the United States than in Canada. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't mean that there aren't campaigns in different Canadian school boards and districts that are particularly political. So, but in the U.S., there are a lot. There are a lot of people who feel like young people should not be reading books about sexual orientation, gender identity, or different cultures in the cultural history in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. So you are teaching a course at the University of Manitoba on this topic. What is the nature of the discussion you have with the students?
Yes. So this is a full year intro to English course under the theme of banned books. So it still functions as a literary survey. You know, we do the Shakespeare, the Margaret Atwood, a little bit of Ernest Hemingway. But we're also talking about how reading is inherently political, and how individuals have the power to challenge books, but also to join school boards to prevent that from happening, and really just trying to empower my students to know that that they can make positive changes.
You know, when I look at the list of books that are encompassed in this discussion, a lot of them are books that I recognize from high school. I mean, we're looking and we're talking about books like To Kill a Mockingbird, Of Mice and Men, The Handmaid's Tale. What is it about those books? And maybe that will give us an insight into why books are targeted for banning by different, whether it's school boards, organizations, community groups. What is it about those books?
Absolutely. So in my course, I am teaching we ended the last semester with 1984 and began this semester with The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. And these are dystopias. These are works of fiction that envision the worst case scenario society. And I would argue that part of the reason why these books are banned is because they provide a roadmap for the worst case scenario, but also for resistance.
Mm. I mean, George Orwell's 1984 is a pretty common book. It's a pretty popular book. I'm going to venture to guess there's a lot of people that have it in their personal libraries.
Absolutely. It's more relevant than ever. I keep thinking about the quotation, "He who controls the present controls the past. He who controls the past controls the future." And every day with the current events changing, we see that. We see that information can be changed on the internet. If Google Maps is your only map that you use, then you might now see the Gulf of America instead of the Gulf of Mexico. Mm-hmm. And that is the reality in which you live.
Chatting with Dr. Aaron Weinberg, University of Manitoba, instructor in the Faculty of Arts, Department of English, Theater, Film, and Media. Where's the line, Dr. Weinberg, between free speech and this topic that we're talking about of book banning?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is the big question. And those are the kind of difficult, open-ended, answerless questions that we address in the humanities. Because, of course, there does need to be choice. There needs to be choice. And there are books that I think about having read in my own teen years that were inappropriate for my level. But at the same time, reading is important because it allows us to imagine other worlds and ways things could be and how to improve things. And I think that young people understand that and should be trusted to be more discerning about what they read. But maybe also we need to teach students about critical thinking.
Dr. Aaron Weinberg is my guest. Do you think that the current state of, I don't even want to say politics, maybe just the world, it feels very divided. We get into all kinds of ideology challenges and culture wars. Does that kind of stem this discussion? Is that what fuels this? Is that what behind this topic of banning books?
Some people might call it a culture war, but other people might call it respecting people's identities and respecting the reality that we live in a diverse country and that it's worthwhile to read more so that we can understand different cultures, different identities, even though that is not our own.
Mm. When you look at the books that are banned, and I've only named a few, and perhaps you've got some other examples you'd like to throw out, but whether it's The Handmaid's Tale, To Kill a Mockingbird, George Orwell's 1984, what are the lessons that you would suggest that whether it's your students in this class or other people reading the books can bring from those books, can learn from those books that would help them in navigating the world today?
Absolutely. I think that for 1984, it's that it is possible for people to tell you not to believe what you see in front of your eyes, and that it takes a lot of bravery and conviction to say, no, I saw this, and therefore it is true, even when you're saying it's not.
Hmm. You got a lot of people signing up for your class. I'm curious to know the feedback you're getting.
Absolutely. You know what? There are some people who might not be a fan of the political nature of the course, but right from the desired learning outcomes on the syllabus, I made it clear that it was a political course, that it talks about reading as political and book buying and book banning as political. So students who have an aversion to that knew very early on that they could take another course. But I think it's really getting students to think more deeply. And that thinking more deeply, you know, we start by applying it to Orwell and Shakespeare, and then it extends to thinking about Super Bowl halftime shows.
Interesting kind of parallel that you drew there. You know, it's as I'm listening to you talk about this and we're thinking about the notion of banning books in 2025, it seems a bit weird to me, given the fact you can probably access almost anything online. So it's less about totally limiting your access to it and more about the statement that whatever the organization is that's banning it wants to make.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I remind my students, you know, as they're growing up, they can join a city council, they can join a school board and help make those decisions collaboratively.
Is that the hope? Is that what you're hoping your students take away from this course, is opening possibilities for them? What is the takeaway?
Absolutely. So this is a course that students from across disciplines take so as to learn better reading and writing skills. And so what I want is not that they all become English professors, but that they take what they learn in this course and learn how to read more deeply and patiently. And also to get a public library card.
Yeah, I'm curious to know how this is rolling out in lower levels of education. So I'm thinking about elementary schools as an example. Is this something that obviously the books that we've been talking about here likely wouldn't be in an elementary school, but is there a fairly high or low threshold of books that are banned or restricted in those sorts of educational facilities as well?
Oh, absolutely. So we actually started my course. We started off a little bit slow with Shel Silverstein and Dr. Seuss. So The Lorax was actually proposed to be banned by a hardwood flooring association who didn't want children to demonize them for their for making their livelihoods off cutting down trees.
Well, I can imagine if it goes that far into the realm of organizations, businesses, whatever the case may be, that are looking to have books banned, to me, this feels more and more like encroachment on freedom of speech.
Yeah, definitely. And so people have to speak up. If there are naysayers speaking up, then people who find freedom of speech important need to speak up as well.
Erin, this has been a great chat. I appreciate your time today, and thanks for connecting with the show.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Erin Weinberg, University of Manitoba instructor, Faculty of Arts, Department of Education, Theater, Film, and Media, instructing a course on banned books, and really, I think, causing a discussion on the topic. I'm curious to know, what do you think? Do you think we should be banning books? We often on this program talk about the importance of freedom of speech, freedom of thought. Another thing we talk about lots is the notion that we don't want someone dictating our lives. Let us understand the choices and make the choices. And so whether it's government control, whether it's school boards making the decision, there is this feeling, even when it comes to our children, parents should have that final say on whether or not access is appropriate, whether it's on books or whether it's just on information in general. So do you support banning certain books, knowing, and I've got a list here of books that include The Handmaid's Tale, the Harry Potter series, The Golden Compass, Goosebumps. Remember the Goosebumps books? I mean, that is a horror fiction series for kids, essentially, which has found itself banned. Various different reasons for the censorship. We'll get into some of the books that have been banned, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Phone lines open, text lines open for you, 1-877-332-8255. Should we be banning books, whether it's school boards, whether it's libraries, whether it's different divisions of government. Is that a role that you would expect to happen, or is that stepping on our freedom of speech, freedom of thought? Your thoughts when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Well, the graders in the southeast part of the province are not running on empty. I'm getting a ton of pictures. Thank you to all of those working in the RMs. Tracy just sent me a picture from the grader that he's working on. Broadview, Grenfell area, and it is a whiteout. Remember this morning when during open lines, I think it was Les in Corning said, you know, you can't even tell where the road is. It's just a complete whiteout. Well, this is the view that I'm seeing from the grader. Definitely seeing graders out on the roads. I hope we've got the snow plows out there working. I know early this morning there were some criticisms. Need to see the plows out on the highways. Sounded like the number one highway in the east part of the province was definitely a problem. I'm hoping that maybe that is better now. But thanks to those that continue to text in and give us not only a text with an update on road conditions, but some of the pictures have been great. Appreciate those as well. Thanks again, Dr. Erin Weinberg, who joins me from the University of Manitoba. She is teaching a course on basically banned books. And the notion of banned books, when I saw an article referring to this, caught my attention. You know, I'm not really thinking it would be an exhaustive, extensive list. Oh my gosh. The number of books, and this is not in any one particular area. These are books that have been challenged. These are books that have been banned. Things like The Handmaid's Tale. Margaret Atwood, of course, that was a breakthrough book for her. That book won numerous awards. She won numerous awards, was adapted for film and stage and ballet and opera, even TV. Reason for censorship, violence and offensive language. The Harry Potter series. Author J.K. Rowling. I mean, how many kids do you know that have this collection of books, that have watched the movies? Banned in certain areas. Why? Satanism and witchcraft. It's about a boy wizard admitted to magic boarding school and his battle against the dark forces that linger in the world. That's fiction in my world, not a reason to ban a book, but yet it finds itself banned. I mentioned Goosebumps. Goosebumps! I think my brother collected those books. 62 Goosebumps books published between 92 and 97. Nope, too violent. Should we be banning books? Or is this infringing on freedom of speech and the charter? 1-877-332-8255. Happy to hear your thoughts here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Good morning and thank you for joining us, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. We're talking about banning books and whether this is a good practice or not. I do not think it's a good practice. It feels like a very slippery slope to me. And by the way, this is different than determining whether books are age appropriate. I mean, we all, I think, can expect that whether it's school divisions or whatever, we'll determine that there's certain books that you don't want grade ones going to the library and taking out. That's different than banning the book altogether. And some of the books that I've been throwing out that have been banned or have been challenged to be banned in Canada and the United States, To Kill a Mockingbird is a big one. I mean, how many people? That wasn't that standard reading when we were in high school, at least I feel like it was for me. Reason for censorship, offensive language. Well, you know what the language is. It's got to do with derogatory terms by today's standards that were used to describe people of different ethnicities. I get it. But at the same time, is this an attempt to completely erase history? And who's the decision maker when it comes to saying, no, I'm going to make the decision on behalf of everyone. This book is not appropriate for you to read. And I'm seeing this on the text line. By the way, I mentioned A Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. as one of the books that has been challenged and censored and banned. Kirk in North Battleford said, "Hey, Evan, unrelated to the topic, but the Handmaid's Tale TV series, a must watch. It's so good. My fiance started watching it. I wasn't planning on paying attention to it, but I got sucked in." Okay, thanks for the tip. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of people are texting in, weighing in on the notion of banning books. Is this something we should be doing? Ari in Saskatoon, good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in a while, Ari.
Well, there hasn't been much going on in the city, so I decided I'd go to literature.
Okay,
you know,
well,
Evan, the banning about books isn't about the subject matter of the book, but it's about the way people feel. And that's kind of the identity politics of the world we live in. Mm. You know, To Kill a Mockingbird is the absolute perfect book about standing up for civil rights. But because of one particular word in it and how he's described, that book is now no longer available. That lesson is lost. Anne Frank is a banned book in Ontario, The Diary of Anne Frank. And you look at the anti-Semitism that's rising in the world. I mean, hello. Like, that's the book we should all be having a look at for a reflection of it. We would still be believing that the Earth was the center of the world, of the universe, if, you know, we let book banning go on.
Well, and that's what a lot of people are seeing and saying, Ari, on the text line is, you know, if we start trying to erase history, what world are we going to be left with?
Well, and we see it exponentially happening where all of a sudden we have a group of loud minorities on both sides of the spectrum that say this book may hurt somebody's feelings because of the theme. It may bring back up some kind of bad past. And instead of bringing it forward to have a discussion about it, we remove it from the sphere of influence and the sphere of discussion. And as a result, it gains more power. It's that, you know, banned book thing that all of a sudden, ooh, I got the banned book.
Yeah, no, I always appreciate you weighing in, Ari. Thank you so much for giving us a call. 1-877-332-8255. Banning books? Chelsea in Humboldt says, how pathetic. You can play video games that are violent and vulgar, but you can't read a book? How about movies? Are they going to ban movies? What is this world coming to? I grew up collecting Goosebump books. Never once did I go act on what I read. I think that's a valid point, Chelsea. Thanks. Someone with a text saying, I heard that there are places where Huckleberry Finn is banned. Do you know if this is correct? I actually do know it is correct. In some of the research that I did, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, the literary classic written by Mark Twain, tells the story of 13-year-old Huckleberry Finn. In an attempt to escape his abusive father, fakes his own death. He meets a runaway slave and they travel down the Mississippi River together on a raft. Of course, I mean, this book, first published, by the way, in 1884, has inspired several film and TV adaptations, but the language deemed offensive. And as a result, censorship happens and the book is banned. What do you think? Is it dangerous? I got a text here saying banning books is very dangerous. Every book has the potential to offend someone. If banning books becomes a norm, how will it be moderated? How long until spiritual books like the Bible get banned? You know it is. You know the Bible is banned in different areas, different parts of the world. Jay and Estevan using the slippery slope term, saying banning books is a slippery slope. What else will it lead to? How can history not repeat itself if we don't have history to base our decisions on? Actually, Gord, I missed your text while I was chatting with my guest, but Gordon and Watson says, does your guest see an increase or decrease in the popularity of the Bible? I think that's an interesting topic as well. 1-877-332-8255. Conspiracy Kevin with a text saying, I like how she suggested some of the books are banned because they show people how to deal with the attacks on their rights and freedoms. He's got a little smiley face emoji and a thumbs up emoji. But I mean, that's the point, I think, is if that's the reason you're banning books, if you think you need to ban the book because it's going to teach people how to stand up for their rights, isn't that counterintuitive to, I mean, it's a head scratcher to me. And so, you know, the total banning of books to me is a slippery slope. And I appreciate the number of texts that we've received from people saying exactly that. It's one to me that needs to needs to be met with some concern. Marv with a text here saying censorship is one of the key tactics of oppressive populist control for government overreach upon the masses. It's a violation of our rights and freedoms. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255. I look at the list, and I've read through most of the ones that I gathered, but there's even some new faves. You know the book The Hate U Give and the book 13 Reasons Why? Those are two books. I mean, I remember 13 Reasons Why came out not that many years ago. It's about suicide ideology and a few different things. It's geared towards a teen audience. There was a bit of a book club review on that while I was still with the police service. I read the book. Actually, I listened to the book. We were in the middle of harvest at the time. So I bought the audio book so that I could listen to it while I was trucking grain. And then in one of the libraries in Regina, we sat down. We had a few different people there and we talked about it. We had a fairly good sized audience that day, and we talked about the messaging in the book and those types of things. To me, that is the benefit of being able to read and talk about these books and the importance of it. We've done shows on this program about the importance of reading, and I know that you have responded in droves about the importance of reading, and is it a bit of a lost art, and do we need to find ways to get the younger generation back interested and involved in reading, consuming information and gaining knowledge through reading books. It's important. So this notion of banning books, a bit of a head scratcher for sure. 1-877-332-8255 is the number if you want to join the conversation, or if you want to share information about what the weather is like in your neck of the woods. I just checked on the highway hotline. I had it up moments ago, and now for some reason it's left me. But what I did find in the highway hotline was travel not advised, actually, in parts of Saskatchewan. That number one highway, if you look at the far east part of the number one highway in Saskatchewan as it goes through eventually Mooseman and on into Manitoba, it is right now marked as travel not recommended. I know Colin from Mooseman had sent me a text with that information as well. So when you look at it, there are parts of Saskatchewan where highways are partially covered right now because of the snow received this morning. Snow is still falling. I just got a text from a Regina listener saying snow is still falling in Regina. Let us know what it's like in your neck of the woods. 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Okay, I got my map up here, the Saskatchewan Highway Hotline, and I clicked on the, you know how you've got the ability to click on track my plow? So it does look like there are a number of plows out there. A couple of them appear to be on the number one highway in the Grenfell-Whitewood area right now, although we are still getting a lot of texts from people saying that road conditions not good. Momart, Saskatchewan, snow and blowing snow in the Momart area, 5 inches on the ground. Still coming down hard. Snow is definitely still falling in Regina. Trevor, thank you for the text there. 1-877-332-8255. I'm also laughing because there's a number of texts saying snow, small, wet, melting as it hits the ground. On the notion of book banning, it's against our human rights. Thank you for the people that are weighing in both on the road conditions and the book banning topic. We did get a number of texts, just a couple more I wanted to clean up here. Back in 1939 and 1940, Germany did not ban books. They burned them. How about 1964, 65, burning the Beatles album? My experience, here's another text. My experience with book bans, it's often a misused term. Opting to use different material for official course material in an educational setting, for example, doesn't equate to a ban or censorship. Books are still available in libraries or to purchase. I completely agree. That is different than a book ban. A book ban, though, here's a text from a teacher who wants to remain anonymous, but says, our school division has banned books in the last year or so. A few examples being The Outsiders and The Wave, which ironically are the student favorites. I'm sure there are many others, but it's crazy to think that higher-ups make such decisions without teacher or student input. Thank you to everybody weighing in on the notion of book bans. Just watching as Pierre Poilievre announced this morning the conservative platform out with some costing and definitely showing his plan includes trying to dig into that deficit and making a 70% decrease in the deficit in a short timeline, part of the promises that he brings to the table. He was challenged. He was in a media scrum, and he was challenged on this notion that he's wanting to use the notwithstanding clause to make it that people who commit multiple murders will have to do consecutive sentences, not concurrent sentences. Remember, we had Dwight Newman on to talk about exactly that. Dwight Newman is the constitutional law professor at the University of Saskatchewan's College of Law. And I said to Dwight when we had him on, Pierre Poilievre wants to use the notwithstanding clause to make an amendment on this notion of consecutive sentences for people that commit multiple murders. My question to Dwight was, does that use of the notwithstanding clause line up with the intention when that was put in the Constitution of how it was intended to be used?
I would say yes, it's in line with the intended use. It is going to be controversial because it's the first time the federal government is using it. There's no prohibition on the federal government using it. It just hasn't to date. What's at issue here is Parliament, if a conservative government is elected, would be taking a very different view on what rights and freedoms should mean in respect of having a certain form of mandatory minimum sentence for mass murderers. And the Supreme Court of Canada, in its decision on that, ends up saying, well, the Canadian public would be shocked and horrified at the prospect that that people could end up with a set of consecutive sentences beyond the 25 years. I think Parliament would be saying, well, no, actually, Canadians aren't shocked and horrified by that. They're shocked and horrified at the prospect that someone would get a sentence of only 4 years per murder in the case that Pierre Poilievre talked about mm-hmm. in the debate last night. So it would be a case of Parliament inserting a different interpretation of a balance of rights and freedoms in that particular instance. What some of those criticizing this worry about is they worry about how else might Parliament end up starting to use the notwithstanding clause. And I guess the answer to that is, well, it hasn't been used very much. It's there to allow for democratic debate on some issues and have a good democratic debate on issues where people don't agree with using it. And I think so far we're hearing about limited uses on certain criminal justice issues where actually probably the public's in line with those uses.
That was Dwight Newman, who is a constitutional law expert at the University of Saskatchewan. And I find it interesting because there's people that are all over Pierre Poilievre wanting to use the notwithstanding clause, saying, you know, this is a ridiculous use of the clause. Well, we got a constitutional law expert saying, no, it's actually in line with how people would expect to use it. So I wanted to keep that little clip handy because I knew it would come up again, and it did. Hey, thanks to guest Michael McLean, who is the campus minister for the University of Saskatchewan St. Thomas More College, and to Chief Erica Bowden, Chief of Kauza's First Nation, who both joined us after 10:30 this morning talking about their interactions with Pope Francis. Of course, Pope Francis passing away at the age of 88. We learned that news yesterday, and we reflect on his legacy, important to connect with people who had the opportunity to meet him. Archbishop Don Bolin joined us at 8:30 off the start of the show yesterday to share some of his thoughts. He had the occasion to meet the Pope on three different separate times and relayed his thoughts there as well. By the way, if you miss those or you miss anything, maybe you come in halfway through a conversation that we're having with a guest, you want to hear the whole thing, you can go to our website, you can find the segment there and just give it a listen if you would like, or anywhere you get podcasts, you can always download and catch catch the segment that way as well. So if you missed it, you didn't miss it forever. Of course, there's the replay that happens later on this evening as well and overnight. So lots of opportunities to catch those information sessions and those guests. Speaking of guests, I've got another one joining me in studio, Aaron Buckingham, Vice President of the Saskatchewan Volunteer Firefighter Association. Some of the opportunities and challenges as we head into springtime with, we'll have a chat with Aaron coming up just after 12 o'clock here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.